Amen. Let's thank God for our praise band team. Amen. Our praise band team, song singers, musicians, beautiful people. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. So good to see you all. Such a blessing. We were at the Smith family with Sister Hazel, the Smith family last night, and it was incredible time of praise and worship and reflection and thanksgiving and gratitude. Amen. Amen. Thank God we have the early family, Darren and Sonia, and they've such a big part of this ministry. They've spoken at all three of our couples retreats. So we thank God for Darren and Sonia and the girls, all the M's. I mentioned last time how Darren got his doctorate. So educated, biblical, solid brother. Amen. Thank God for that. Hey, man, you earned it, man. All that hard work. Every time I see you, I'm going to call you doctor earlier. I'm going to let you all those blood, sweat, and tears, all right? You've earned it. Amen. You leave early alone. He can come. He can get to service anytime he wants to. Okay. John's trying to give you a hard time. You have a doctor. You can come late. So he was studying or something. Amen. That's right. Bow your heads just quickly. Lord, we thank you once again. What a great day it is, Lord. A great day to be alive, a great day to be saved, a great day to know Jesus. So we thank you, Lord. We're so grateful for your word. Speak to us through your words, through your word, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to receive what God is saying to us this morning. We love you. We thank you, Lord, as this year is coming to a close, Lord. Let us be thankful, Lord, and not take anything for granted. Because heaven and earth is passing away. The only thing that remains forever is your word. So we thank you for this word that helps us to navigate through this fallen, broken, dark, decaying world, Lord. It's the only thing that we can stand on. Your word is it's our rock, it's our refuge, it's our strength. It's our high tower, Lord. It's the horn of our salvation, Lord. We need your word today more than ever. Speak to us now through your word, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The book of Nehemiah. Well, first, let me say that we're still studying each day the Psalms. I'm sorry, the Proverbs, Psalms 18. So, family, remember, it's not a religious thing to study. It's a relationship thing. I want to know God, so I study. I want to know what God has for my life, so I'm studying the Word so I can know that. I want to see it. It's not a ritual. It's not a religious thing where I follow these steps because that's what it says do. I study, I pray, I fast because I want to know what God has for my life. I don't want to be anywhere where God isn't. I'm praying for my marriage. I'm praying for my wife. I'm praying for my kids. I'm praying for my church. I'm praying because I want the best that God has for each and every one of us. It's not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. God, if you, which I believe, you know everything and you have all wisdom, give me your wisdom as I navigate through life. And that comes through his word. So family, stay into the Proverbs and God's word daily. Finish the year strong. Amen. So we've been on a theme of prayer. So we've studied Daniel's prayer, we've studied David's prayer, we've studied the Lord's prayer, and then today we come to the book of Nehemiah, and we're looking at Nehemiah's prayer as he prayed when he found out the condition of his people. Okay, and so he asked about the wall, and they tell him that the wall is broken down, it's burned up, and the people are distressed and a disgrace. And immediately he goes into prayer. In other words, things are jacked up with God's people. That could be the case today. We know that our world, it just looks really bad. So we should immediately go into prayer daily. I found the more I pray, the less I complain. Amen. That's what I found out. So if you're not praying for your spouse, then please don't complain about your spouse. Because when you're praying for your spouse, then God shows you and then shows you your spouse. And then you get it all together. You realize, OK, God, I'm kind of tripping, too. If you're not praying for your kids, then don't complain about your kids. Kids, if you're not praying for your parents, then you can't complain about your parents, because God will reveal things to you how difficult it is to be a parent in 2016. Somebody say amen. Amen. And how difficult it is to be a kid, as I'm praying for my kid, I can only imagine what they have to navigate through day by day. So God shows me that. So I'm a little more sensitive and empathetic to what's going on, because through the power and the prayer of the Holy Spirit, you kind of see things than when you just fly off the handle and go on your own. So Nehemiah is kind of in that situation. But here's one thing. He went to rebuild the wall. It took them 52 days to build the wall, but 90 years to build the people. It's so much easier to build stuff than it is to build my life. That's how men, we could go, we could play ball for hours and never talk about how jacked up our marriages are. We could go play golf on the golf course, 9 holes or something like that, because I don't play golf, but I assume it's 9 holes, back 9, all that kind of stuff. And never talk about anything substantial. We'll talk about the Lakers. We'll talk about the football. See, those are like it's like walls that we talk about. We build those easily. Man, how you doing in your marriage? How you doing? You spending time with your kids? You spending time with your? See that we want to build the football walls, the sports walls, the school walls, the career walls, the education walls. I'm doing this. I'm in school. The college walls. I'm going to this college. But how are you doing in your singleness? How are you keeping yourself? How are you staying strong in the midst of everything that's going on? See, it's easy to build that stuff, but it's so tough to go heart to heart and talk about what really goes on in life. So this is just an indication of where we are. It's human nature, the fallen human nature. So I can see how they can rebuild that wall, which even the enemies had to attest it was the grace of God for them to build that wall in 52 days, but 90 years. To build the people. It's a lot easier to build stuff. Let's not be shallow surface Christians. We gotta go deep. We have to have accountability. We can't just be business as usual if we're going to expect to grow. Paul was writing in his letter that we do have to take. We have to participate in our personal growth. It's not automatic. We can't put it on autopilot. We can redirect our energies and our emotions so that we can be godly. We can redirect our energies and our emotions to be godly. Amen? Amen. We have to participate in our own spiritual growth. So here we go. Nehemiah 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hiatchalel. And it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, or Susa, the palace. Now here's Nehemiah. Nehemiah is like in the palace. Right? He's got it made. But family, I tell you, if we think we got it made and our Christian brothers and sisters are not in the place where God has them, then we're not successful. We haven't made it anywhere. Nehemiah comes to realize that only what's done for Christ will last. He's in the palace. He's living the good life. He's the king's cupbearer. Matter of fact, he could never be upset or disappointed or show it on his face ever. He always has to be in a good mood when he approaches the king. He's actually living the good life. He has status and position. He's in the palace. Underline that. He does not have to care about anything else. He finds out that that God's people are in distress. Not my job, not my prob. I'm in the palace. People are out there struggling. Oh, well, probably serves them right. They were probably in some type of sin. That's what they get. I'm in the palace. It's not the case at all. Family, we can never forget where we come from. You all know, but by the grace of God. I wish I could take credit for something, but I can't. I really can't. The grace of God. Couldn't even take credit for getting up this morning. If God didn't give me the strength and the health to get up, I couldn't get up. You couldn't get up. We haven't arrived anywhere when God's people aren't with us. When one of us is hurting, then we're all hurting. That's what the body is about. It's what Nehemiah is teaching us right here. And only what's done for Christ will last. So what? I'm in the palace. I can collect all this stuff for the last days, but it's all going to pass away. Nehemiah said, I have to do so much more. So then verse 2. Then Hananiah, one of his brethren came, and he had certain men of Judah. Underline that. That's kind of key. It's kind of ironic, too, that he brought certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped. Three things. I asked about the Jews that had escaped, and then which were left of captivity, the ones that were left in captivity and in Jerusalem. Hey, how are the Jews doing that escape? What about the ones in captivity, and what about Jerusalem? They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction, great distress, desperation, depressed, stressed out, and a disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and all the gates thereof are burned with fire. It's a bad situation. Look at verse 2, the irony in verse 2, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and certain men of Judah. And if you know what Judah means praise, Judah means gratitude, Judah means celebration. So even in the midst of things falling apart, you got to bring the praise, the celebration, and the gratitude. That's why it's so key when we worship, you worship with your whole heart. You got to, it's our time to talk to God and just be so grateful as God ministers to our heart as we're ministering to God through praise and worship. Even in the midst of affliction, even in the midst of bad news, bring gratitude, bring celebration, and bring praise, because God is still in control. Even in the midst of that, still brought praise and celebration and gratitude with them. Said unto me, the gates thereof are burned and the walls are broken down. And he looks at that, and it's representing shattered and scattered dreams, disappointment, hopes and dreams down the drain, a bad situation. Verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I cried. Family, when we hear about our brothers and sisters not doing well, go right into prayer. Look, he sat down and he cried and he mourned certain days and he fasted and he prayed before the God of heaven. We should never celebrate a church or believers when they fall. As tough as it is. Because we know some jokers out there that's not doing the right things and that's perpetrating a fraud. But we should never celebrate a church when it closes doors. Or when a fellow Christian falls. We can't celebrate that. We got to fight that urge. We've all been through church splits where a church split and they go there and they go there. And then that church, it dissolves. Good. That's what they get. They weren't living right. No. Never. He found out his people were in captivity and he just started crying because he knows that they will not reach the place where God wants them to be in that situation. When you're bound by anything, Jesus saved us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. None of us should be bound. If you're captive to sin, any type of addiction, and if you've ever been in any type of addiction, you know what it's like to be bound by a drug or a bottle or a feeling or anything like that. That is so tough. And you know, we'll never reach, when we're bound in drugs or lust or anything like that, we'll never get to where God wants us to go. He started crying immediately. They're still held captive. They're locked up. Mind, body, and spirit are locked up. difference between position and location. I found out the difference when I would do prison ministry. We go into the federal and the state prison. We go into the church and we started worshiping. You see the men coming in and just free. Say, man, I'm free. I've never been freer. Look at the irony. Locked up, maximum security, federal prison. So I've never been freer. Position has nothing to do with location. I could be located in church and be just as locked up and bound and miserable and captive as ever. I could be in prison behind bars and be free as a bird. Location has nothing to do with position. Mutually exclusive. We got to make sure that we're always free in Christ, whom the Son set free is free indeed. The truth shall make us free. That's what we got to get in this word, and the truth. Facts will lie. The fact is, I might not have any money in my account, but the truth is, God will provide. Don't look at the facts, look at the truth. Been young and I've been old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken our seed begging bread. The fact versus the truth. So here's Nehemiah, verse 5, and he said, I beg you, O God. Remember, we talked about there's three components in a prayer that we've noticed: the adoration of God, the begging of God, and the confessing of sin. So when we're praying, we're thanking God. We're thanking God for how great he is, even in the midst. That's why we bring the celebration, the gratitude, and the praise, because even in the midst of my situation, God, you're still good. God, you're still great. You're still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So as I'm coming to God, I'm begging God, I'm thanking God for who he is, and I'm confessing my sin because I know I'm jacked up. And I got to come clean. Verse 5, and he said, I beg you, O God of heaven, the great and awesome God. See how he mixes that in? See, I'm not just talking about what I don't have and what I need. I'm talking about God, who you are. I'm confessing my faith in God, even in the midst of my struggles. And I said, I'm begging you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, that keep covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Verse 6, let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open. Underline ears and eyes. God is listening and God is looking. That's the good news and the bad news, family. Amen. Last night, God was listening and God was looking. That's the good news. That's the bad news. Last night, God was looking and God was listening. This morning, God was looking and God was listening. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes be open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. Underline day and night. Make sure you're praying day and night. The word says pray without ceasing. We should never stop having an attitude of prayer. Always praying, walking down the street, walking in a job, working out at the gym, talking to my wife, cooking dinner, washing dishes. Lost you on that one, huh? Yes, you should be praying when you're washing those dishes too. Amen. Day and night, pray without ceasing. He says, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins. There it is. Always confession has to be in there. Got to come clean. The sins I know that I committed and the ones I have no idea, Lord. Commission and omission. The ones I have no idea. Even those thoughts that I thought was nothing. But you're listening and you're looking even at my thoughts. Somebody say, have mercy. Confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both I, there it is, and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt corruptly against you, Lord. Have not kept the commandments, nor your statutes, nor the judgments which thou commanded your servant Moses. Said, we all have messed up. Although I'm in the palace, looks like I got it going on, God, I recognize we all have messed up. And then here are my family members that are still in captivity, Lord. I'm praying and I'm begging for them. Hey, take a look back at verse 3. Did a little comparison here. It's a very interesting comparison. He said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned. And family, you know, if you live in a city, if you live in a house where there is no walls and the doors are burned, that's a bad situation. But then turn to Proverbs, and Natalie, take us to Proverbs 25:28. So let's make it even more personal. Where it's not just the walls. It said they're in great distress. That word great means intense. Affliction is bad, evil, worse, adversity, reproach, shame, and disgrace. We are jacked up. It's intense. We are intensely jacked up. Sister Tara, not just jacked up, we are intensely jacked up. Scattered and shattered dreams, unfulfilled lives, and potential. It is a bad situation. God, help us not to miss anything you have for us. So then we make it even more personal. We look at Proverbs 25:28. Then it talks about us. It says the person that has no rule over their own spirit is like that city. It should be that city or a city that is broken down and without walls. It is so easy to look at a picture and see a city that's broken down, the walls are broken down and the gates are burned, and say they're in a bad situation. But God says, when you do not let the Holy Spirit, which one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control, when you live your life with no self-control, you just like that city. You leave yourself open to everything, the elements, no security, no protection. It is a bad situation. And when you look at When you do the research and you kind of put a visual on this, it's like a house with no doors, or the doors haven't been installed, and no windows. No windows installed. So you're in your house. So just imagine your house, your apartment, Brandy, your condo. All right. Thought we'd slide that in there. All right. Congratulations. Amen. Imagine that thing where they haven't put the doors on and they haven't installed the windows, and you're sleeping there at night. How many of you have a heater in your house? How many of you have ever seen a house? All right. But just think about it. So last night, no doors installed and no windows. You're exposed to all the elements. Anybody can walk in and do anything at any time. And God says, when we don't control ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what our life looks like. You have no covering. You have no protection from God. And then here's the indicators. So when you look at your life and you forfeited your security and your protection in Christ because you refuse to have self-control, you won't go home at night. You don't allow yourself to be influenced. You allow yourself to be influenced by the wrong crowd. You haven't got rid of the magazines and the videos and the numbers and the text messages and all the other stuff that you refuse to have self-control over. You let it control you. You surround yourself with ungodly friends. You're not practicing any self-control. And then here's the indicators how you know. You're stressed out, distressed, depressed, desperate, disgraceful. And that's a direct result of no self-control. Not allowing Christ to lead you. Remember, we're not talking about there's a difference between the struggle and the practice. We all struggle with stuff. But we shouldn't be practicing anything that's ungodly. And if you don't have any self-control, then you leave yourself open to the elements and the enemy. So Nehemiah read how their walls were broken down. Then Solomon in the book of Proverbs say, your life without self-control, without the control of the Holy Spirit, your whole life is broken down. So here's what I wrote. All right. The depth of our relationship in Christ will determine if we have installed walls and windows. Let me say that again. The depth of our relationship in Christ will determine if we have installed walls and windows in our life. We have to go deep. We got to have our roots in Christ. So we're led by his Holy Spirit, which part of that is self-control, the love, the joy, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance, which is self-control, and the faith in which against such there is no law. We have to be led by that. Other than that, we're just like that city. The gates are burned and the walls are broken down. And that's why Nehemiah immediately went into crying and mourning and praying. All right, let's go back to the book of Nehemiah 1:4. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. Wept mean that he cried. In the Hebrew translation, it means that he shed tears. Tears actually came out of his eyes. Mourn means that he cried loudly. And you all know that we can cry loudly and no tears come out. Yeah. You know, I got to hit you with this one. How many of you had kids? How many of you have seen a kid, right? You remember your kid would just be there just crying, no tears, no nothing, just making noise. Amen. Or was it just my kids that would be doing that? So that's the difference between mourning and crying. He mourned and he cried, because isn't that the same thing? No, cry. He actually shed tears. Nehemiah broke down. And when was the last time you shed a tear for your kids? For your church members? As I was reading this, you know, it's how God always moves. It's right after Thanksgiving and we hung out. We had family to the house. Tracy's family came over, which is my family, of course. And then we went to L.A. to my family, which is her family, her crazy side of the family. All right. We got all the polished side on Tracy's side. And my side, what up, cuz? Good to see you. Like, man, what is good to see y'all? Man, what is going on? But as I'm doing this and I'm praying for my brothers, you know, and my heart is broken, because there's no way I can be doing well if my brothers aren't rooted and grounded in Christ. And I can't do that for them. I've led them to the place to accept Christ, which they have. But it's the difference between being saved and Jesus being the Lord of your life. Let me say that again. It's a difference. Well, I'm saying, I thank God I'm saved. But when Jesus is Lord of your life, then he controls everything. And it's a difference. Yes, it is. And so as I'm praying for them, I'm praying that they make Jesus Lord. I'm begging God, just like here. And my heart's broken. And I love those dudes. I love my sister. I love my mom. I love my nieces and nephews. But I'm praying, but I know how to handle it now. I don't go over there with my Bible and say, y'all going to hell. Praise the Lord, I'm here. Happy Thanksgiving. Get right. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. get right by the end of the night. I didn't do that, Marquise. Just yeah, I just went. I did. That's good. Say that's Marquise. Said that's good. You didn't do that. Went over there, had the best time, and then I'm praying daily. Amen. Praying daily for them, showing them the love of God, sharing the love of God. Hugs and kisses and prayer. Because I know only what's done for Christ will last. There's no way I can be in the palace and see Christians and family members living less than God has for them and think that I'm actually successful. And that should be our prayer, family. That's when and I mean, you're not asking for stuff. You're begging on behalf of God's people. So that's what Nehemiah is doing here. We understand, family, you and I, we understand it's a dangerous place when we forfeit our security and our safety and our protection in Christ. When we're living out there with no doors and no windows. Nehemiah realized what was really important. Family, think about this as you're praying, and I want you to continue to pray and become intentional and intense about it as we finish this year going into next year. What's really important? The salvation of family members. God's will for our lives. Heaven and hell. My marriage, my kids, my grandkids. The people of God reaching their full potential in God. That's what's really important. My jobs and careers, that stuff is okay, but that shouldn't be at the top of your list. Your 401k shouldn't be at the top of your list. The next car shouldn't be at the top of your list. The house shouldn't be at the top of your list. The things that are really important should be at the top of the list. That's why Nehemiah immediately went into prayer. Verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down. Sometimes you just got to sit down. I mean, just picture Nehemiah. Has it going on in the palace? Not a care in the world. The right-hand man of the king. But it hit him. How are my people doing? Man, they're doing bad. Man. He sat down. And he cried. And he screamed. For days, and he fasted and he prayed before the God of heaven. Not before a head of lettuce, not before people, not before the gossip line on the prayer line, disguised as a prayer line. He went to God first. Family, make a note of that. You always go to God first. He didn't call pastor, which is okay, you could call me. But after you've gone to God first, you've been fasting and you've been praying, and you know, we fast every day. We get up a few minutes early before we take that first meal, and that's our prayer and that's our fasting time. It's our time with God. That's when you're begging God. Wake up begging God on behalf of your family and your friends and your loved ones and your singleness and your marriage. Wake up and beg God for the first 5 minutes of the day. Give it to God. That's right. Verse 5, he said, I'm begging you, O Lord of heaven, the great and awesome God. I love it. That's why I went to God first. I know some good people, but none are great and awesome like God. Oh, amen. I know some really good people. Amen. But I got to go to the great and awesome first. Oh, yeah. He said, you keep covenant and mercy for them that love you. Okay, here we go. All right, we got to break this one down. This covenant is based on, we know that there's a covenant that God has with us. It's just God, based on God himself. But he's saying right here, this covenant and this mercy, it is conditional. You keep the covenant and the mercy for those that love you. Okay, number one, do you really love God? And we're going to get into that next week because we don't have time. How do you know if you love God? Well, in John, it says, if you keep my commandments, all right? So we're going to dig deeper into that next week, or the week after, because next week is communion. All right, we're going to dig deeper into that. And when you love God and then you observe, which means you actually do what his word tells you to do. And then he gets into the prayer. Let your ear now be attentive. Make a note, God does hear our prayers. They don't just bounce off the ceiling. We've studied how God hears the prayers of the righteous. How are we righteous? We're righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. God hears our prayers and his eyes is open. And we got to pick up the rest next time. Let us just pray just for a quick minute. If you would, bow your heads. And Lord, here we are. We don't want to be like that. That city without walls. We don't want to come from underneath your love and your protection. So God, as you've issued the challenge for us to examine ourselves, it said if you don't rule your own spirit, not somebody else's. We're not trying to play Holy Spirit and run somebody else and tell somebody else what to do. You said you better run your own spirit. So, Lord, as we examine ourselves, we ask for forgiveness of our sins, Lord, for falling short. And we thank you, Lord, that you've already done that through Jesus Christ. But we ask and we confess. We want to stay humble and make it known, Lord. Yes, we've messed up. And we thank you that we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ. So, Lord, you've issued the challenge for us to have self-control. Our actions, our thoughts, our deeds, and practice self-control so we don't have to be a city with no walls and no windows, open to the elements and the enemies tossed to and fro, stressed and distressed and worried, because we don't have and haven't allowed you to control us through the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, my first step is accepting Jesus Christ. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, I'm here. I've never accepted Christ. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I'm finishing the year. I'm not going to wait to the new year to get it right. I'm actually going to get it ahead of this thing. I want to rededicate my life this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you and pray with you. Maybe you're here, you've been visiting and say, Pastor, I want to go ahead and make it official. I want to go ahead and become part of the South Bay Abundant Life family. We're not members, we're family. We are the body of Christ. If that's you and you want to be part of the family of South Bay Abundant Life, elevate your hand. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. It's a great day, Lord. A great day to be thankful. A great day to be saved. A great day to know God, to be committed to God, to trust God. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's put our hands together and thank God one more time. Family, I'm so grateful and so thankful for you all. You all have no idea. I used to tell you all the time that I love y'all. Didn't I used to say that? I still do. I love y'all this morning, South Bay. So young lady, is it Clara in the back? I want to pray for Clara. Come on up, Clara, and I want some of our members just to surround her as we cover her. Ladies, you know how we do it here. My hands are still cold. Yes, they are. Thank you. We're just so grateful and so thankful that the Lord led her here this morning. Come and lay hands on her.
Yeah.
So we just cover and keep her. And Lord, we thank you for our sister this morning who you led in the church.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for her, Lord, not to put her on the spot, but just to let her know that just like we're surrounding and praying for her, that's how God surrounds us and prays for us. We know that Jesus Christ intercedes for us. He calls us to intercede for others. So, Lord, we stand in the gap now for our sister Clara, praying for her situation, Lord, praying that she would let the Spirit of God rule in her heart and her life, that she would surrender her heart and her life to Jesus Christ, that she would give God 100% of everything that he is in her. That she would not only confess, but she would forsake any sins that might be preventing her from surrendering 100% to Christ. And we've all been there. We've all had to confess and forsake that we might find mercy and that we might draw closer to Christ. So we're praying for her now, Lord. And we're asking you to cover and keep and watch over her. Send labors into her life, Lord, that would share the gospel, that would encourage her heart.
Yes.
Pray for any need that she may have, Lord. And your word says that you know the needs even before we ask. So we know that you know, Lord, so we're praying that those needs would be met. And if it's anything we can do as a church to help meet the needs, Lord, we're here. So we thank you for her life. We thank you for her fellowshipping with us this morning. Pray that she'd surrender all to you.
Yes.
That she would taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
And we testify this morning to the goodness of God.
Yes.
And we thank you for this time of prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. You are dismissed.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And you talk to one of the sisters if there's anything we can do to help you out. Check with the. Okay, let me make sure I connect you with
Lenore.
Oh, also, if anyone lost a ring, come and describe it and see Lady Tracy. Love you, Dr. Early. If you dropped the ring, if you lost the ring, come and describe it to Sister Tracy and get it. Amen.
Can we give Clara $20 out of benevolence? She put in a penny and started crying and said, "This is all I have to give." Can we do that?
I just asked
John. Yeah. You are.
Now you know I don't have a problem with that. I just want to see what her needs are, whatever her needs are.
Okay.
To find out, and so she's taking me. I told the ladies to check on her.
Okay,
so,
I'll go back there and see, because like I said, she put in a penny and started crying.
Right.
This is all I got.
Right.
So much.
I enjoyed the fellowship.
Amen. I'm
going to
get a birthday.
Y'all come visit anytime. Notice you're home away from home. Anytime.
Amen.
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah. So that's actually, so you come in fellowship. It's just been a blessing just to have your presence and then just the presence of the others. God always does something special.
You know?
Amen. That's how That's how God has always had me as a teacher and expounder of the word.
Yeah.
And just building up the life so we can walk out of here and live this thing, you know? I know. Amen. 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 So that's right. That's right. There you go. Share it. And we got some good people here. It's just, I'm so thankful, you know, because I never looked to be a senior pastor. I was more of an evangelist going out and doing all kind of stuff, prisons, schools. We're getting ready to get tapped back into that. So
I'm
going
like
into 27.
Yep.
So
you. No.
So I'll let you know.
Okay.
And I'd love for you to go out with us. So just stay in touch with me, and you know, and you'll be busy, and we'll hook that thing up.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
That is such a beautiful thing,
amen.
And so. But when God opened the door for me to be a senior pastor, then I just. Okay, Lord.
Amen.
You know, if this is my next step, then here I am.
Here I am.
And we're getting ready to, you know, in January, we'll step into our fifth year.
Amen.
And.